This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Simon Hill joins us live. He will be joining the Optus Sport team to commentate the return of the UEFA Champions League and the Europa League this month, as well as having a weekly column podcast spot. Simon, welcome to FNR again, and great to have your voice back on the airwaves.
Thanks very much, guys, for having me. And yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled. It's been a few weeks in the making, and absolutely delighted to have joined Optus Sport, and just can't wait to get going, really, with a huge month of Champions League and Europa League football. So all starts this weekend.
Well, we've enjoyed seeing you pop up around the place on A-League match day club shows and Football Queensland broadcast and so forth. But it must be a bit of a dream come true to call your beloved Manchester City this Saturday.
Yeah, what a way to get started, hey? It's almost like the stars have aligned for me to be calling Man City my first game for Optus Sport. And a huge game, doesn't get any bigger than against Real Madrid. So it's particularly with a 2-1 lead from the first leg at the Bernabeu, albeit it seems like eons ago. It should be a fantastic match. And you can be assured, despite my proclivities and everybody knows who they are, I'll be totally neutral during the 90 minutes. But if we win the tie, I might allow myself a little fist pump afterwards.
Oh, knowing you, Simon, professional as you are, you'll be as objective as any fan possibly could be in that sort of situation. But it goes without saying that you've had the chance to call some amazing tournaments across your career, you know, Asian Cups, World Cups, and you have been a voice that has been responsible for some of the most seminal moments in Australian football folklore. And I know a lot of fans will be very excited by this announcement, but the Champions League, on a personal level, how does this compare to what you've experienced, what you've had the chance to call in the past?
Well, to be honest, it's not the first time I've actually called the Champions League. I did it back in the day, it's a long time ago now, for SBS when they had the rights back in the early to mid 2000s. So this is not a new competition for me. And even further back, blimey, almost the days of black and white, when you were still in short pants and vests, I would imagine, I did do European games during my days at the BBC for BBC Radio 5 Live. So it's not an entirely new experience, but obviously it's a long time since I've been able to do this level of football. And I think everybody knows that the Champions League is arguably the best competition in the world, featuring the biggest players in the world, the Messis, the Ronaldos, the Neymars, et cetera, dare I say the Kevin De Bruyne's. So I'm hugely excited. And because it's a compacted tournament, you know, it's going to be a real feast of football from the very top level over the next, 3 or 4 weeks. So yeah, I can't wait. Just hope I don't make any mistakes.
Well, I bet it's an odd experience calling games remotely. How have you been enjoying that?
Yeah, well, it's sort of become the norm, hasn't it, over the last few months because of COVID. I wouldn't say it's ideal. Particularly sometimes calling off your laptop, you can have, the odd picture freeze or a few audio problems, but I think this is the way of the future in many ways. I mean, I hope it's not going to replace actually being at the stadium 100%, because I think that's still a very important part of commentary. You know, when you're at the stadium, you see the peripheral stuff that you don't necessarily get when you're just looking, through the camera lens. You can see substitutes warming up, you can see managers arguing, you can see the fourth official getting involved in heated debates, or what's happening with the crowd. Not that we have crowds at the moment, but I think it's a different experience. It's still very enjoyable. Commentary is still, the best part of my job, which has quite a few different facets, but I've missed it. I've not done too much of it over the last few months, for various reasons. So I can't wait to get back behind the microphone.
Well, yeah, you're obviously commentating at the moment in fairly, unique circumstances. And indeed, the Champions League is going to be what remains of it in quite unique circumstances. There's 11 games, across 16 days, single leg ties, which, as an Arsenal fan, I'm very, very glad to know that'll mean the end of away goals for the time being. And of course, games are being played behind closed doors. what kind of, you know, challenges and opportunities do you think, you know, the tweaks to the format is going to throw up?
Well, it's all a bit of an unknown, isn't it? You know, the single leg ties should make for very exciting football, I would imagine, because, you know, it's literally all or nothing on the night. So it's knockout football in its purest essence, really. It's almost like going back to the days of the old European Cup, which, you know, I remember very well, even though they were home and away. It made for hugely exciting nights because everything was literally on the line. And I think, you know, in some ways, although, you know, the group stages are fascinating, you know, they can tend to be a little bit long drawn out. So these one-off ties, particularly when you're talking about the best players in the world and the biggest clubs in the world, will make for compelling viewing. And the fact that it's all going to be condensed in such a short space of time means, I think, that, you know, people's attention will be very much focused on this, particularly as there's not a lot of domestic football to act as a distraction at the moment. It's going to be all on this, which is just brilliant.
Well, if you're just joining us, this is the big breaking news. Simon Hill will be calling the Champions League on Optusport and the Europa League indeed as well. The people are pretty excited in the Facebook Live comments, Simon. Jude says, huge, huge news. All the best, Simon. Class coup for Optus. A-League memes have just gone with a big yeah in all caps. So I think the people are excited to hear your voice. That's on nice. These big, big games. But the Champions League and UEFA in general has been a bit of a fraught competition for Manchester City fans like yourself. We've heard them boo the anthem, which I presume you won't be doing on air. Of course, the recent CAS decision made big, big headlines with City granted a reprieve from their two-year ban. What was your reaction to all of that furore?
It's a difficult one because, you know, there's obviously a strong whiff of suspicion against City, even though they have been cleared. You know, you go through the reams and reams of paperwork and, there's a fair bit of it that doesn't sit easily with me, even though I'm a Manchester City fan. Having said that, I've never been a fan of financial fair play in its current guise. I think it's a complete red herring. In common with many City fans, I think this largely is an attempt to ring fence Champions League money, which is why the group stage was designed in the first place, to give the old G14 clubs a lot more revenue. And of course, by doing that, they drove a bigger chasm between those clubs and their domestic competitors. And I think evidence of that is, you know, you look at, for example, the Serie A, Juventus have won, what is it, 9 titles in a row. Bayern Munich win the Bundesliga every year. I did have a quiet chuckle at Oliver Kahn's comments this morning saying, you know, that Bayern were unhappy about CAS's decision and that they want, you know, a level playing field. Well, I don't think they really have that in the Bundesliga, do they? Same with Real Madrid and Barcelona in La Liga, because they negotiate their own TV deals and keep the rest of the money away from the other clubs in Spain. So, you know, I think a lot of it is based on greed. That's not to excuse City, because, you know, clearly there's been some stuff that's done that's been done that doesn't sit particularly well, I think, with a lot of football supporters. And, you know, in many ways, City, now that they're part of the elite, are as guilty as a lot of the other clubs in trying to sort of pull up the drawbridge. But I think this one sort of story encapsulates it for me. I think it was Agnelli, the owner of Juventus, who actually came out and said, well, Atalanta shouldn't really be in the Champions League because they don't have the history to be there. Well, what utter nonsense. And I think that sort of sums up the mentality of the old G14 cartel. That, you know, they want to keep the trophies all for themselves and keep the money all for themselves and exclude ambitious clubs such as City, Chelsea, Paris Saint-Germain. Well, that's anti-competitive. If you want to have fair play, why not structure it on club debt? If you want to prevent clubs from going broke, which was the intention in the first place, then have a look at debt rather than income. You know, in a nutshell, if you have a commercial business, which football is these days, why do you stop investors from putting their own money into their own business? And City can afford it, so can Chelsea, so can Paris Saint-Germain, and so might others in the future. You need that competition.
Well, I think, you know, when you have someone like Michel Platini saying that, you know, these rules aren't working the way they're supposed to. You know, they are keeping that G14 sort of at the top, as you said, that there clearly is a massive problem. But, you know, someone who's been bucking that trend, you brought them up, Atalanta. Everyone here at FNR, we all absolutely love them. I've personally, you know, been probably the biggest champion of them. You know, they've just had an absolute fairy tale run, and they've made it into the round of 16, done it, you know, playing some very impressive stuff. They haven't been safe. They've taken risks. They've been really impressive. Huge tie against PSG. How do you rate their chances?
Yeah, sort of reasonable. Although they lost at the weekend to Inter. You know, I don't know whether that's an omen. Paris Saint-Germain, of course, have just completed the domestic clean sweep in France, although they needed penalties to get the French League Cup over the weekend. I would say that Paris Saint-Germain are still the favourites. I mean, Arsene Wenger has come out and he said he thinks that the two favourites for this year's competition are Paris Saint-Germain and Manchester City, two clubs who've never actually won the tournament before. But you look at the firepower that PSG have got, although strangely enough, they're struggling for goals at the moment, which is odd. But when you've got the likes of Mbappe and Neymar, then you've always got half a chance, haven't you? So I agree with you that I think Atalanta, the fairy tale story, really. It would be lovely to see a club like that win the Champions League, but I'm not sure it's going to be this year. And obviously, of course, as a City fan, I hope not.
We do worship at the Church of Papu Gomez here at FNR. So even with the unfortunate personal problems that Josip Iličić is having at the moment, I still hold out hope for an upset, especially in this single knockout competition. Last City question, Simon. David Silva is going to be leaving the club after a glorious run. Where does he rank in sort of the all-time City greats? How do you rate his impact?
Oh, he's got to be up there. He's certainly got to be in the top five or six, I think. I mean, you know, as you can tell by my grey beard, my support in City goes back to the 1970s, and I still put Colin Bell right up at the top. But maybe that's just my age. But I think in this modern era, you know, there's a core of players that have really driven City forward. Vincent Kompany was one, obviously. Sergio Aguero was another. And David Silva is certainly up there. I think in some respects, he sort of suffers a little bit in the popularity stakes because he's quite a quiet character. He doesn't make a lot of headlines. He just goes about his business. But, you know, boy, what a player. We nickname him Merlin, the magician at Manchester City, or El Maggio, the maestro. He's absolutely fantastic, and he's going to be missed. The great thing for City is we've already got a ready-made replacement in the Stockport in Yesta, that being Phil Foden. So I'm hoping he's going to get a regular opportunity next season. I think he deserves it.
Yeah, well, he's certainly had a massive impact. He's one of those players who, you know, as an Arsenal fan, you look at and you think, it's exactly the kind of character that you'd like to have at the club. And I thought we had shades of that with Santi Cazorla, but he obviously wasn't there for as long. And I wish he could have been the same player that David Silva was for us, but was for you, sorry.
Hey, you're doing okay. You're doing all right. You've just beaten us, Liverpool and Chelsea. Arteta's got his first trophy. Seems to have sorted out the spine of the team. They look a lot stronger defensively. I thought Arsenal did a real job on City in the Cup semi-final. Got his tactics spot on. Flooded the defence, allowed City to have the ball out wide and said, go on, you sling crosses in, we'll deal with them. And they did.
Josh is probably feeling a bit of shock at the moment because as an Arsenal fan, notorious for my pessimism on this show, he's probably shocked at some level of confidence coming in, flooding in for Arsenal. So thank you, Simon.
It's the natural state of being for a football fan. We tend towards pessimism.
It's true. It's true. But, you know, indeed, as you said, things are looking up. Manchester City knocked out of that competition by the eventual winners in Arsenal. But I'm sure you'll be hoping very much so that they not knocked out of this cup competition, obviously the Champions League. One thing that does strike me about the competition, though, as much as I like Manchester City, I think this year, even more so than perhaps recent seasons, a favourite is really hard to pick. I think there are a lot of teams that you could really mount a case for taking it out. I think Bayern certainly looked very strong before, you know, the world completely flipped on its head. The two Madrid teams, Barcelona, indeed Manchester City. It's a tough choice. There are a lot of cases to be mounted.
Yeah.
Is there someone that stands out amongst the rest for you? You know, are you going to go against your own interests and say someone other than Manchester City?
Look, it's tough because, you know, all the teams that you've mentioned are perfectly capable of winning this tournament. And if City are going to win it, they're going to have to do it the hard way because they've got a tough draw even later on in the competition. So, look, I would say that Juventus are desperate to win this trophy. Cristiano Ronaldo, what is he now, 35? Obviously, they've had a change in coach with Maurizio Sarri having taken over from Max Allegri. And the reason they did that was because they were so desperate to win this Champions League. And I'm certainly not going to write off Cristiano Ronaldo. He's a phenomenal player and a phenomenal athlete. But, you know, when you get to 35, your chances of winning it, and I know he's won it lots of times before, but not with Juventus, they start to diminish a little bit. So I think that they could be, a big threat. I think they will see off Lyon in their particular tie. And then they come up against City next. So, you know, they're one of the big threats. But I mean, you can make a case for so many of these teams, even the likes of Rasenball Sport Leipzig. You have to check yourself and not say Red Bull Leipzig, but it is Rasenball Sport Leipzig. You know, they've got a real up and coming team and a very smart coach in Julian Nagelsmann. So you can make a case for any of these teams. And that's the way it should be with a tournament of this magnitude. When you get to the knockout phase, you've got the cream of the crop and any of them can win it. You're probably the only one you'd exclude, given their first leg results, is Chelsea, because they're 3-0 down against Bayern for the first leg. I think that will take a miracle for them to get through.
You can wipe that smug grin off your face, Lockie. We're going to talk about the FA Cup final Sorry, after man. The break. Simon, you've got to jet off, but if you've just missed this interview, we'll have it up on our SoundCloud after the show or wherever you get your podcasts. Simon Hill to call the Champions League on Optus Sport. Congratulations, Simon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great week.